You are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor, a hardcore look at LOTRO from a casual point of view. A Casual Stroll to Mordor is brought to you by Typefrag.com. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get 25% off your first month. We're also brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get a $25 gift certificate to Jinx.com. And today we have a creep roundtable courtesy of Through the Palantir. Ivan was kind enough to allow us to re-air these on our show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the creep side of things.
Welcome to the Black Arrow Roundtable. Today we actually have Merrick with us, and we have our three Black Arrow guests. And I would normally say hello to Casual Mordor or something about that around this point, but we'll have Merrick do that instead, so you go ahead.
So, good evening, Casual Sword of Mordor people. Today we have, four excellent people, excluding myself, because I'm just average when it comes to this stuff, if even that. We are discussing the Black Arrow class. So I know we've had a lot of requests for PVMP roundtables, and here we are. We're getting into them. So, who wants to go first and go ahead and introduce themselves?
Hi guys, you can just call me Shoots. I'm playing out of Hawaii. I've been creepside since mid-end November. Started, a year ago with my girlfriend, and we're both creepside now. It's good to be here. Hi, guys.
This is Gut. I've been playing since 09, and I started with the Y Hand, and I've been enjoying PvP ever since.
Hey there, this is Person Gut, long-time member of Crypt Show. I've been playing since 2007, and I guess I've been playing this game and this class for too long. You can call me Person.
All right, then.
Well, don't forget to introduce yourself.
You're right, that's what I forgot to do. For those of you who don't know me by this point, although obviously there's a couple other roundtables that'll be in the CSDM feed, and I've been on another roundtable in CSDM, and Merrick seems to mention me anytime I actually say something funny on my show. I am Ivan of Through the Palantir, also known as Ugmog in the Etten Moors and on my YouTube channel, and I am the mastermind behind this entire plot to drive people insane by talking about classes that don't have a whole lot of depth for hours upon end. So anyway, we'll get on with that whole plot and see what develops. Alright, so first off, in your own words, I want you guys to define the Black Arrow class. So, Shoots, you will go first. Just say, what is the Black Arrow's role on the battlefield? What does it do? What does it not do a little bit? Just give it like a one or two sentence summation. Something you could fit on a business card.
Put it bluntly, he's the archer. He's in charge of ranged attacks. He currently is at the upper end of the DPS dealing side of the creep side, and so he's a damage dealer, and he slows stuff down.
All right, fair enough.
Not to be meant to be in melee.
Okay. Gut, what do you got to add?
Be a shoot face. That's it.
I like that. Simple. Okay. Burris, how about you?
Well, these days he's ranged DPS class, that's pretty much all it is. No debuff, not that much crowd control either, so yeah, pretty much just DPS.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with that. The only other thing I would probably add to that is that with all the stuff that's been happening to Reavers and everything, it does seem like, Warlords are always the toughest class, but it seems like Black Arrows have actually snuck up and become probably the second sturdiest class in the Etten Moors, so they actually survive better under focus fire with healing support than almost any other class does, especially when it comes to the damage ones. Have you guys noticed that, or is that just me?
I don't know, man. I think when I'm solo out there, of course, against tank classes, I'm pretty much pretty good unless I get the drop on them, or MT doesn't do anything. So if headshot procs, which I'm technically not supposed to have yet, but I did buy it. But other than that, yeah, if you don't get a drop, if you get CC'd to death, basically, it seems like.
Right. Okay, well, we'll go on to the next section. So now we're going to talk about traits. So start off with the traits that you consider absolutely indispensable to the Black Arrow, especially the way that you play it. What would be the traits that you would have to be insane to go without?
Sure, yeah. You're talking about class traits? Racial or corruption?
Typically, it's kind of whichever traits you want to. The corruption traits tend to be a little bit more up to personal preference, so it's usually the class traits and race traits that get covered in this part. But if there's like a couple of corruptions, you'd say, you know, you need to have like these corruptions and then build on that, and that's how you feel, go ahead and add that in.
Well, the ones that I'd say that they're really good to have are uncanny reactions. That's an extra bait that helps with melee classes and range. Doesn't help much with tactical classes. The other one that I use is Swift Draw. Reduces inductions. That's pretty good if you want to, you know, slow people and make sure they don't run out of, you know, too far away before you fire it off. Now, another one that I like is the one that changes, well, this wasn't available before, the one that changes your damage type to fire. I think that one's pretty good.
Yeah, that one's Feel the Burn, isn't it?
Yeah, Feel the Burn. And then yeah. The one that helps me when Freep's closing on me is Snare. You know, helps a little bit. Those are the ones that I'd say, you know, I find to be pretty useful.
Okay, fair enough. Gut, what do you got to say about traits?
I just now started stacking another thing in Mastery, so I'm up to 4 Mastery, and both rank 2 healths, and for race I go Nubri, Tireless Warrior, Imposing Presence, Get a Grip, and Brutal Persuasion, and class is pretty much like Burrs. Snare, I like Snare solos for the slow, and because it's a decent damage dealer, added damage for one-time use, Enhanced Headshot, which of course I'm not supposed to have yet, but I like it, and when it procs, it's awesome in a solo. Feel the Burn also. A lot of good stuff from there.
Right. Shoots, you ready to talk a little bit about your traits yet, or still booting up the game?
Yep, I've got them all up in front of me. For race, I've done New Breed, Imposing Presence, which I'd have to say is probably the most vital of all those. Get a Grip, another good one. Brutal Persuasion, and Tireless Warrior, which... they're minor. Then on to class, I have, again, Enhanced Skill Headshot, because of that once in a while it works. Deadly Aim, Hindering Shot Enhanced, Deadfast Barrage, which has its uses once in a while when my other big shots are timing out, I can use that. Or if I'm low on power, it comes in handy. Swift Draw, of course, I think that's kind of a mandatory. Uncanny Reactions, as someone else said, and I think Feel the Burn, I think we all use. It's the difference between using fire and not is just incredible. It just seems to be a mandatory. As far as corruptions go, I think we're probably all using similar damage patterns in 2 units of mastery. I do some damage for health rank 2 and damage for power, trading everything off to get as much damage as I can. And then, of course, health for power, 2 slots of that. And that's about how I'm set up.
Yeah, that's good. Burris, did you have something to add to that?
Well, yeah, I forgot to mention a couple of them. Yeah, I think Deadly Aim is a must-have, for sure. And then the ones that I use as corruptions is pretty much a morale build, and then I use 2 of the Mastery Boost. That's pretty much my build. And the racial ones, yeah, I think Get a Grip is a must-have. Then I use Imposing Presence, which has gotten a lot better now that it gives you a 10% morale and power. Used to be just at 250, I think, before, but now it's a lot better. Then I use New Breed, Extra Armor, Morale and Power, Brutal Persuasion, Extra Critical, and In Combat and Morale and Power Regen from Tyrannous War. Those are the ones they use.
Yeah, I have to say, the Uruk classes, the racial traits, there's really not a whole lot to choose from, but the benefits from New Breed and from Get a Grip and Tireless Warriors seem to be something that's pretty universally used. People get those, and they pretty much don't ever run without them. I've seen some people run without Imposing Presence, especially back when it was only the 250, so that they could stack up Leaders of the Orcs and Brutal Persuasion, but that guy was always running small groups, and he had somebody else to give him Imposing Presence, so he really didn't lose anything. But yeah, it does seem kind of static between those 2 classes in the same race, just because there's not a lot of variety, really. All right, continuing on with traits, what would you consider the optional traits? Traits that are okay, but that you don't personally use, but you could see someone saying, you know, this trait might work a little bit better for soloing than having this thing. Anything like that for the Black Arrow class?
Okay. You said optional traits?
Yeah, optional. Things that you feel like, you know, I can live without this to try to swap something out, but I prefer to have it, or I prefer to not have it, but it's not necessarily something that's bad.
Well, I haven't been playing too long, but,
You're rank 8, you're not allowed to say that.
What? Alright. Well, okay, I've been playing ages, but, optional traits. I could probably switch out maybe Brutal Persuasion for something. I don't consider Tireless Warrior to be huge, and I think there could be some other traits they could introduce that might be more rewarding. Class traits. I wish we weren't really dependent on needing, like, Feel the Burn. There's a few of these traits that just seem mandatory to have, just to survive. Yeah, that's about as far as I can comment on that.
All right, no worries. Gut, what do you got to say?
Yeah, I wish Tireless Warrior, I mean, against a class like the Wardens now, the stats could be a lot higher, and I think I would still just run out of power, and they would be sitting there full round power just laughing at me still, so... I don't know, I could probably take out, I have a Swift Bow now, because when I do get the drop on a free, those faster inductions help a lot, but I could probably switch that out for maybe the longer hinder shot, so I wouldn't have to worry about keeping that on them, keep them slowed as much, maybe.
Yeah, I could see arguments both ways.
Yeah, so there are a few things. You can tell that Turbine really doesn't put much love onto this side, so... I don't know.
Alright, no worries. Bruce, what do you got to say about that?
Pretty much the racial ones, I wouldn't swap. I think the ones that I have left are Favorite, Servant of the Dark, and Leader of the Orcs. I wouldn't, like, swap those for the ones that I'm currently using, so that I wouldn't change at all. Then, as far as corruptions, just because how the game has been designed, like on Freak side, you have so many between traits or legacies you can use to bring down the resistance of your targets, like by a lot. I don't bother anymore with using corruptions to increase resistances or mitigations. It's just, you know, it's gonna be overwhelmed by the skills that Freeps have. You're gonna be, you know, debuffed. So try to go with the morale ones and then the DPS ones. I don't think I would change any of that for now, unless until, you know, they change their design. Their design again, because they keep changing them from time to time. As far as class traits, one that I did, probably not something that some people doesn't use, and something that you get at rank 15 actually, ended up buying, is the one to make your AoE attack, remember what's the name for that, Death Blossom, make it a root. So yeah, so that one before Dilati's last update wasn't that great. Now with the change of Audacity, they've made it a 15-second root, and there's a lot of freeps that I guess don't carry root pots, or they take a long time to use the pot. It's quite handy, but like I've lived without it for a long time, so you know, that's one of them. The other ones that I don't use are avoidance boost, pretty much for the same reason that freeps debuff us. I figure I'm gonna get debuffed anyhow. So then the one for resistances is nice, 900 resistance rating, but again you get debuffed and it doesn't matter. The ones for headshot, the knockdown from headshot is nice. I don't like that it's only a 25% chance. That's why I don't use it.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say.
Fair enough. Okay, and now for the last thing on the traits. Wait, was that? Do you want to say something?
I did like the recent change to enhanced gash. The change it from a 3 second stun on a crit to 6 or 7 or something like that. I might start putting that back in the rotation again.
I'm gonna have to. Anyway, onto the last section, the worthless traits. What are the traits that are just absolute garbage that no one should waste their time with at all? Shoots, you're first.
Oh, terrible traits. Last trait, resistance boost. I mean, that's 3%. Seems pretty useless. Penetrating arrows. I don't think that one's worth very much. 10% block chance, minus 10. Oh, anything where you're trading off damage for something else under the corruptions. I feel that we need every bit that we can get just to take down a freak. Some of the appearances are worthless, but that's a matter of personal opinion and taste. I mean, it seems like we only have like two templates, and then they stick a hat on one or the other. You know, one has red eyes, a couple different shades of colors, but they didn't put a lot of love into our basic appearances.
Could you imagine having a top hat?
Well, you know, it would be nice to be able to customize our freaks a little more, but I guess that's a whole other conversation. Yeah, that's about all I have on that.
Yeah, that is a whole other conversation, and we don't have the time to get into lockboxes and all that went on with that. All right, Gutlard, what traits would you say are worthless?
I think advanced skill set trap is pretty worthless for me. If I'm going to spend the time on the induction, I would rather lay down fire trap, but that's just me. I think some of these others could be beefed up a little bit. I'll probably, hearing these guys talk, I'll probably switch out avoidance boost, because some of these I haven't changed for past couple updates. But racial, I wish, the only thing I don't have traded that I have unlocked is leader of the orcs, and that, I don't know how much damage increase physical mastery plus 300 would do. I think the plus 900 increases it by like 3%, so that would only increase it by 1%. I don't think that would do very much, actually. But as far as corruptions, I don't know. Virgil's telling me that mastery pretty much replaced all the damage for us, right? Improved upon it, or wasn't that what you're telling me, Virgil, a while back?
Yeah, I find that it's better to use the mastery ones than trying to use the ones damage for power, you know, because you pretty much get the same bonus and without losing anything. So that's why I went into that mastery ones.
And then that's what I tried out too, and this seems to work a little better, so that's about it, really.
Yeah, fair enough. Boris, how about you? I think you kind of covered it a little bit, but go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'll mention the traits that you mentioned before. Steadfast Barrage. At one point, it was kind of nice, I guess. Its damage didn't get mitigated, but it sucked that you had to stand and, you know, you couldn't move, and you had to hope that the freak didn't realize he's been hit by, you know, 400 damage hits. But nowadays, it gets mitigated, and I think I've tried using it on a Guardian or Warden, and I was hitting for 150, so nowadays, like, don't use it, don't waste your time with that. The other one that I don't like, and I think it's also a waste of a trade slot, is Enhanced Skill Gash. If you're doing melee, and you try to hope to get a critical, you know, and stun your target, doesn't really give you, because they're definitely going to use a pot, it's not going to give you enough time, like, to get some distance and try to take advantage of a range. Like, usually that never happens. So I rather use either the snare, the trade for the snare instead, to try to get some range between the freak I'm fighting, or either I try just to use the slow. But just going melee to have a chance on a critical to stun someone just so they can use a pot, it's not worth it. It doesn't give you that much of an advantage. The other one that I find pretty worthless is Set Trap. It actually shares cooldown with your Fire Trap, so if you decide to use Set Trap, you cannot use the other one, and people's just gonna pot out of it. That's what sucks, and like, if you start doing damage, it's also gonna break it. So as far as class traits, I'd say that those are pretty much a waste. Racial, I think I already covered that, and corruptions, yeah, I already talked about that. So yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, okay. Sounds fairly reasonable and everything, and especially with the enhanced gash, because if the freep's not good enough to be carrying stun pots and use them effectively, then they're probably not going to get close enough to you to actually get in melee range before they're nearly dead or already dead.
Right.
Okay, well that covers traits, so now we get to some more fun stuff. We're going to talk about what it's like to start out as a new Black Arrow. We're not going to just to go through like an entire, oh, when you start out, this is what you're doing yet more, because I've done that two or three times now on the podcast, and it takes a long time, and we don't really want to go through that whole thing. Instead, what I'd like to talk about are what are some of the holes in the class that gets filled in at later ranks, but it's definitely noticeable that you're missing this stuff when you're like ranks 1 through 5-ish. What are some of the class's weaknesses, and are there any recommended store purchases that you have, plus a starting play style? So that's what we'll cover. Just keep that in mind. So first off will be the holes in the class, stuff that gets filled in later. And Shoots, you are up.
Okay, basically all the serious damage shots are all higher level stuff, starting with, I guess, Vital Target, then Revenge, and I guess Headshot could be included. And I consider those all pretty much mandatory basic survival stuff. And so I went ahead and I think I earned Vital Shot, and then I took the Revenge and the Enhanced Headshot later. But I just felt that they were just so vital just for basic survival. I mean, I don't think I would be anywhere near as effective in a group without those. And that's the biggest holes there. I don't think the melee ever gets built, so we're never any good really in melee.
Okay, Gut, what would you say? Anything to add to what Schutz has said about the class's deficits as they start out?
All the big shots he mentioned, and I would say Skirm Stance. I don't know how I used to play the class before it came along, and I thought it sucked. But I was a raid baby then, so it didn't really matter. I don't really have the patience to kite that much. So Skirm Stance, I pretend like I'm a reaver with arrows, I guess. I don't know. But I just love the stance. I never use Kunai. I don't know what rank you get Skirm Stance. Do you know that? Anyone?
I would suspect it's 6, because I think that's when the old stances came in. I think it was worth 6.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I couldn't fathom playing the class without that, so. But that's about it, yeah.
Yeah, and I do remember how you actually played the class back then. You stood around and you shot stuff and didn't really care about what you were doing in-game, and you did all of your real PvP in the chat channel, Ventrilo.
Yeah, yeah.
Not much has changed there, really, actually.
No, not really.
Okay. And I have to say, I'm kind of sad to hear that Steadfast Barrage has really gotten nailed with a nerf bat, because I remember one time I was out there with Killdeath and Cinny, and I think also Baggett, and they were out on the TA lawn just laughing at people because they were lighting them up with Steadfast Barrage, and that thing, if you didn't use an interrupt on it, they didn't matter if you got behind cover or anything, you just kept on taking damage. So priests would be like, oh, I'm taking like 400 damage a hit. Get behind the wall. Why am I still taking damage? And then they get killed. And
right.
I don't know if this is still true, but back then there was some kind of bug on there where it would give you double infamy if you got a kill while using Steadfast Barrage. So they were also laughing about that.
Yeah, it actually still goes through walls, I think. But, you know, again, the damage it does now, it's pretty much garbage.
Yep. Alright, Burz, you're up next with the holes in the class starting out. You got anything to add to what these two have said?
Well, I honestly don't remember that much about, you know, leveling up my BA. Like, I've been, rank 10 since 2009, and the game has changed so much that I don't really know what you get and what you don't get at certain ranks. So as far as that, like, I couldn't give you an answer for that. I can tell you what I feel that are pretty much the problems that BAs have right now, you know, at my rank. That's what I can tell you. I don't know if that's gets asked farther in the recording or is that something I can mention right now.
Oh, that's good. That's actually the next section in this whole starting out thing. What's the stuff that's always going to be a deficit in the class? So go right ahead.
Yeah, I can tell you that the one that I find the most annoying is debuffs. Debuffs that were made for PvE, kind of like the traded enrage that burglars have, and the ranged debuff that lore masters have, that they pretty much can spam in you all the time. That's, I think it's traded. Lore masters can keep you debuff by 60% if they have a trade. If they don't have it, it's 50%, still, you know, a lot. And then the one that burglars can spam on you, if they're traded, like, it pretty much kills your class. You only have, like, the other one, they did that to me. The only skills that I could use were headshot, maybe hindering shot, and what's the name of this other one? Screaming shafts. Those are the only ones that I could use. And, you know, I was also being debuffed for longer inductions, so I pretty much didn't have anything I could do against it. All my skills were grayed out, and there's no pot that I can use to get rid of that, so that sucks. I think that's... I hope that it wasn't get fixed at some point, but after so many years, you know, it's never happened, and I doubt it'll happen.
The only things that ever get fixed with free debuffs is that they fix them so that they last longer, they fix the ones that are currently potable so they're now unpotable. for us, and that's all that ever happens, is that it gets better for the freaks, really.
Right. I think the only skills that you can use that would make sense to use are melee skills, but, you know, the damage is common damage, gets mitigated a lot, and we don't really do that much damage melee. So that's what, you know, pretty much kills a VA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, once upon a time, it was total opposite, but not anymore. Okay, so Gut, you're up next. Weaknesses that the class always has to worry about and deal with.
I don't like that we don't have 3 bubbles, 3-minute dots, stackable, all the fun toys that the freaks get. I don't know, Bruce pretty much covered everything. There are a lot of debuffs that can be put on you that you try to pot out of and they don't work like you said, or you pot out of and they can spam right back on, which is kind of ridiculous. And I don't know about class specific as far as side specific, but I'd like pots that would cure 3 debuffs at once like the freaks have and stuff like that. But as a class, I think the BA seems to be pretty solid right now. I hate that they nerfed Hendershot a while back and they took out the root from that. I would love to have that right now, but I think that's about it, really.
You're right, fair enough. Merrick, we mentioned a bunch of 3-minute dots and stacking and stuff. Anything to say about that?
As far as...
I don't know, just anything at all.
Well, I mean, as a general thing, it sounds like... I did play Black Arrow for a little bit. I've played... The limited experience I have has been as a war leader and as a Black Arrow. And I had to say that this was before they did some work on the Black Arrow, but I was pretty disappointed with how the Black Arrow was treated. So it sounds like it's gotten better, but it still sounds like the holes that you guys are finding aren't specifically with the Black Arrow. It's specifically with the creep side, namely scaling, as the creeps have seemed to scaled a lot better. Whereas the creeps are still, you know, kind of lacking when it comes to that.
Yeah. If we get loopy enough, then we'll treat you to probably a discussion about how we feel the mitigation debacle from Update 5 and onwards has been handled, and talk about how we feel about stat uncapping. You better hope we don't get to that, because Vetlard has quite a reputation around the Edmores and the forums, and I don't think you know about that one.
Parental advisory.
It's okay, I have a bleep wave that I can throw in. But no, and that's too bad, because I think that, you know, from a starting point of view, especially with the Black Arrow, I mean, the Black Arrow was a lot of fun. It was cool to be in range and not having to get up there and not worrying about, like, wardens running up and getting in your face and yelling all, you know, every 3 seconds. So, and it was cool to, like, you know, fuck out people and stuff like that. But it sounds like it's still not quite there, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, even from a free point of view, that's something that is going to deter people from playing Creepside, period, unless you find that you have a real passion for it and you like the community and things like that. And that's unfortunate, because overall it is fun, especially when I can get with somebody who knows what they're doing and can kind of explain things, and it's not just like, hey, it's creeps with quests, so...
Creeps with quests, that sounds like the last 3 months, honestly, but...
so,
okay.
That's too bad. So.
Alright, Shoots, back to the actual topic. Do you have anything to add to weaknesses the class always has? Anything to say about that?
I'm going to have to agree that the only weaknesses I experience are pretty much creep side endemic to all the classes, and it's a comparative things to the freak. You know, what the freaks can do to us. You know, all the stuns and the debuffs. Same thing. I think, as far as the melee goes, they are designed to be not strong in melee just because they are archers, and I think that's pretty fair, actually. I don't have a problem with that. I think they're working as designed in that respect, and, you know, in the few updates that I've been through, I think they're pretty solid right now.
Yep.
Overall. Can I ask another question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
This is probably more creep endemic. When you guys get updated, creep side, how do you feel that it, you know, as far, now, recently with the wardens got updated in update 6, and we won't discuss about, like, the balance issues, but it seems like when they've got, like, quite a few fixes coming towards them, and recently we just got a 0.01 patch where they, you know, they got some fixes. Do you think that problems with Creepside, do you feel like there's a gap when you guys get fixes in comparison to the Freep class, or do you think it's just kind of a little bit, it depends on how broken it is? Like, obviously, mitigations were a huge issue. Do you think that if that something like that had gone Creepside, where, you know, Freeps didn't have the proper mitigations against PvE, that it would have been fixed more quickly? Or do you think that it's about same no matter what side that you're on?
I think that if any creeps get an increase in anything that's an overpowered or considered overpowered, it's nerfed almost instantaneously. Whereas if it turns out freeps are like that, I think Turbine has to take into consideration how the change will affect on the PvE side, and it takes them a lot longer to roll back any kind of overpowered situations on Freep's side. But a great example is the BA's Revenge. They had a pretty big damage nerf not too long after it hit. An update hit, it tested through Bulwer. I don't know if they had talks during that time about rolling him back, but it only lasted like maybe a month before it got rolled back, if that, and it kind of took a lot of the fun out of that skill. So I think Freeps get buffed, overbuffed, it takes Turbine a lot longer to get around to changing it. When it happens to Creeps, it seems like it happens within like a month or so.
Oh yeah, there was that spider super root thing that was back in Shadows of Angmar. That got rolled back within 3 days.
Yeah, so stuff like that, yeah. I mean, of course, the game is the way it is, and I mean, that's just the way it's going to be, so.
To answer your question, not only do we have a greater lag and a more noticeable lag, but sometimes there's just stuff that sits there that never gets updated. I don't know if you listened to the War Leader Roundtable when we were talking about that, but when we were doing that and talking about it, we mentioned some of the statistics on some of our class traits and on our flags and stuff have not changed since Shadows of Angmar, so it's been 5 years. Some of those actually got changed just in the last patch, which was update 6, but I mean, it took them over 5 years to get around to it. And so you really can't say that there is not a great lag time between when the devs actually get around to updating stuff on the Monster Player side and when they get around to stuff with the Free Peoples. Also, the other thing you notice is that when they do get around to touching up creeps, and you compare, like, they focus on one creep class versus one freep class, freep classes do tend to get a bit more done to them. But part of that is just the fact that there is a lot more to a freep class than a creep class. They have three defined roles, or they're making them have three actually defined roles, whereas monster players tend to have one to one and a half at best.
Okay.
And I think we just, I mean, that's just the way it is. We're playing at, you know, not a last-minute add-on, but it was definitely an add-on thought of later. So, I mean, that's just the way it's always going to be, I think.
Yeah, I remember times where actually the creeps were doing a bit better, but, yeah, like you said, it doesn't last as long as when creeps have these advantages. They seem to be getting fixed favorably for creeps sooner than fixing stuff on creeps.
I mean, plus, how long have we had the same map?
That's a whole other issue, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, well, but I mean, on the whole map issue, haven't they promised a new map with every single expansion except for Riders of Rohan and never given it?
That's because they're too busy making festivals. Yeah, so you know, can get your quests and get your pumpkin head and masks and stuff like that. That's where they focus on
hats for the horses.
Yeah.
We have a few opinions from time to time. Well, nothing too major. All right. Where were we on this whole mess? I think we just gotten. Shoots, you were gonna go on to holes in the class, or did you already cover that?
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Okay. Then up next is, are there any recommended story purchases, and how would you recommend playing the Black Arrow as a starting player, especially considering that they're not going to have stuff like Skirmisher Stance, Keen Eye, etc.?
Recommended store purchases, I guess, depends on how much money you have. I'm okay with the store. I started playing with when the game went free to play. And compared to some other games and stores in them, I think they're pretty fair with it, with some exceptions. I said earlier, Vital Target, Revenge, and I think Vital Target and Revenge would be the two main purchases I would do if I was starting a BA. Just those two would be, and then earn the other ones as I go up. Those would be vital to go with. And then other stuff is mostly a matter of convenience.
All right. And starting out playing the Black Arrow, how would you say you would want to go about that? What would be, would you say get in raids and just wait until a much higher rank before you even think of soloing or anything like that?
Okay, yeah. Basically, it's good to have all your maps before you really get committed to raids. I think it's okay to raid as you're going, but you should always be doing your dailies just to get those maps so you're of more use to the raids when you join them. Because sometimes you gotta move fast.
Right.
So yeah, just I can remember just getting to know the map was important. I think it's good to go to one of those websites where they have the map all laid out in an image, and you can refer to that and get used to the map. And you get used to the map just by working for your maps. And then I think you're more valuable to the raids, like I said.
Okay.
That's how I'd start.
That's good. Alright, Gut, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would, is there a rank gating on usable skills for the store? Do you know?
No. If you buy it from the store, you can use it immediately.
Okay. Then I would get a grip, skirm stance, revenge. I would buy everything. But what a noob can do is group with some other noobs and work on your quest together. And the nice addition was all the infamy you get from quests now makes ranking up a lot faster. But the thing is now with all the comms and all that stuff, it makes it harder to, gear yourself out. So there's really no way around that unless you do use TP to buy all your stuff, which may be the whole point of this to begin with. But other than that, I would kind of group with the class that helps fill in the holes that you're missing and go from there. Raiding is tough. A new person without maps and stuff, people kind of frown upon half the raid not being able to get anywhere or splitting up when something goes down. So, but by working on quests and stuff, you rank faster and all that anyway, so it's all kind of tied together. You know, so that's about it. All
right. Burrs, anything to add to that?
Pretty much what they said. I don't really know what skills you get at the beginning and at what rank you get, your upgrades. But I'd say check your trainer and see any skills for DPS available above rank 6. Rank 6 Francesco, it's going to take you some time to get there, even if you complete quests. And, aside that, it's also going to take some commendations to buy them. So you're probably better off, buying stuff that you get at high rank, like Tangle Shot. I don't know what rank you get that if you get it at the beginning.
I think they give it to you at the beginning.
You get it at the beginning? Okay. Yeah, Vital Target, and if you have extra turbine points, I personally don't buy anything with money. I just get points every month from my lifetime account. Buy the enhanced skill Death Blossom. It's quite handy, and you're not gonna get to rank 15 to get it through points. It's just crazy. So yeah, that's pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. I think I do need to interject here, even though I've never done anything with the Black Arrow. Wait, no, I did roll one time to go hunt down my brother in the Edmores and never found him, and then I deleted him again. But that means nothing. But with the commendations and everything, starting out as a new creep right now is really miserable. It honestly is. If you guys seen the threads in the forums about what rank you actually start to catch up on commendations needed to be able to purchase all of the skills that you'd have, it's something like rank 7, you'll finally be able to actually buy everything that you've unlocked.
Yeah, there's over 40 pages in there of complaints.
Yeah, and that whole thing just really does make the store a lot more appealing just because of everything that's going on, but at the same time, I would say I don't think it's going to last in this current state. I can't see how they could leave it at the way that it is right now.
I think they're going to have to roll back the price comms for skills or something.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, if you read the dev diary, they were talking about, like, oh, if you're in a group, you're going to get, like, at least 30 every time you kill somebody. And then, well, we find out we're getting actually closer to 0.4 or 0.45 amount of columns to infamy. So you get it slightly less than half as fast. And so, yeah, that's just adding to the problem. I mean, the commendation costs would not be a big issue if we actually got them that fast from doing PvP, but we don't. So I think we'll either see a massive increase in the ability to get commendations, and then the cap will make a lot more sense because it's easy to get them. You just can't hang on to a whole bunch at once. Or we'll see the cost balanced out, or some kind of mix between the two.
I have to say, though, like if they give that many points, if you're in a raid, you know, that many commendations points, then soloers and small groups are going to get screwed once more. You know, everyone that raids is going to, you know, have a huge amount of commendations. You're going to be buying their audacity or their armor or whatever. And people that just wants to do a different type of playstyle are never going to get to, you know, are going to take a lot longer to get to that point. So, in a way, I'm glad that they're not getting that many points in a raid.
Well, they were talking about getting, like, I don't remember what the numbers they tossed around in the dev diary were, but it was somewhere between, like, 120 to 200 commendations for us, pure solo kill and stuff like that. It all got changed, obviously, but, yeah, I do have to agree with that. Anyway, if they didn't have a better balance worked out between how many commendations you got from the solo kill and stuff, it would have been bad, but at the same time, you know, it would have been a currency that's so easily acquired, most people wouldn't really care.
But, I mean, one of the issues probably is creeps can rank so fast early on, and that's why they're getting the big backlog of not being able to buy skills with comms.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much less time to rank up now with all the infamy from quests and stuff. You get 2 or 3K a day just from that.
Oh, yeah. And then you get 2 or 3K, but you've got only half of that in commendations at best. And you're just like, wait a minute. Yeah. How am I supposed to buy everything? My skills all cost at least 2,000. I've only got 500 infamy, and I'm already at rank 1, which means about 250 commendations.
Yeah, but it's a new system, so maybe they'll adjust it on the go, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. The one other thing I would say, just something that I said in the War Leader Roundtable, is for a person starting out, I would recommend that you
not buy the stances.
I would say that you'll be better off if you learn how to actually play the class without using
the stances. They
change the way the BA functions so much because it turns you into the mobile, you know, Reaver with arrows that Gutlard likes to play, or if you actually do Keen Eye whenever you can, you basically become, well, you could say a howitzer, or you could say a StarCraft siege tank. Either one is a pretty good analogy, but you just become an artillery piece that doesn't really get to move. And, well, it's a bit of an adjustment to learn how to actually play in those two styles. You definitely lose something if you haven't learned how to play the way that the class originally played and everything, where it was an induction-based class that didn't have any major movements, changes and stuff. And if you learn how to actually play effectively that way, get yourself all the way up to rank 6 or so, where you actually get the stances, then I would say that probably makes you a much better player overall and helps you round out your skill with the class a lot more so than someone who buys the stances right off the get-go and never really experiences what it's like to fight without the advantages that those give you.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
All right. Let's see. That covers everything for starting out, so now we are on to our advanced tic-tacs. We're going to talk about raiding, small grouping, and soloing, and the differences between them. So first off, we are going to talk about raiding. Just talk about, like, what are the fundamentals of raiding as a Black Arrow, and what are the additional utility skills and things that you bring to the raid that you should make sure that you're using and getting the benefit from. So, Shoots, you are first.
Okay. I raid with the Pouncing Ponies a lot, and we often run with Shazlik as well. Sometimes I'll be put down as the target, raid assist target, and then my job is to find whatever he wants me to concentrate on. You know, whether it be the minis or, you know, it's about getting targets and taking them down quick. And everybody cooperating. And then if I'm not the target assist, then I'm pretty much trying to keep up with the target assist and deal out damage. And that's basically my function in the raid, or to save Hatati from time to time.
Well, because we all know that she can't count on the wards for any of that.
sometimes you, as a VA, you've got to pretty much wade right in with the rest of the group. It's just important to stay with the group, and like any class, just follow the leader's instructions.
All right. Gut, what do you got to say about Rady?
I read it for the first time with Plock's group the other night, and I haven't read it since then, since the White Hand pretty much left, and that was the last time I read it, but...
Well, you were also there for St. Patrick's Day.
That's right, I'm sorry. Much love to you, St. Patrick's Day, right? But yeah, being a BA, if I'm on target assist, I go after LMs and hunters. For LMs, obviously, for the CC, and then debuffs and hunters for the high DPS output and stuff like that. I could see using maybe Kenai in a raid, because you're depending on other people for heals and things like that. But I still kind of like using the skirmisher stance and kind of running after people and as a TA and getting good targets and stuff like that. So Hinder is a good utility when some creeps are trying to get away from you. Kind of get those stragglers hindered so the raid can catch up and cut through them, and that's always nice. If I see a healer with an induction spell, of course, knowing dome's great for that. But other than that, yeah, just now with Skirm Stance, I can just charge in and wreck as much havoc as possible. And also with Get a Grip, it's a nice little heal for the group, so things like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the other thing with Black Arrows, back when Hinder Shot had that root on it, Black Arrows were fantastic for being able to get creeps that were on horses off of them. But now, I believe you can just use No You Don't to knock them right off their horse. Does that actually work? And do you use that a lot?
Yeah. That's it still works, because otherwise it seems like creeps can stay on their horses for a pretty long time through a lot of damage and just ride through a lot of things. So No You Don't works great for that also.
Yeah, and it's a ranged dismount, so that thing is fantastic as far as group utility. And that's something I'd say Black Arrows should make sure they're doing when they're in a raid or even a small group, is knocking people off the horse with that thing so that you can catch them and pound them into the dirt. Alright, Burz, what do you got to say about raiding?
Well, going back to that point about No You Don't, just wanted to say that I think that skills always work that way. You know, dismounting from range. As far as I can remember, it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, you know, when Hindering Shot had that root effect, was pretty handy to keep your targets from getting away. But I also remember that at that point, that's pretty much all VAs did. They didn't have that much DPS. You couldn't really DPS on the run. And it was a Hindering Shot, put your fire dot, and just keep doing a Hindering Shot while in a raid, you know, until other people in your raid catches your target. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that No You Don't work that way, dismounting people from range since early on. As far as raids, I'd say it all depends. Like if you're in a raid and you're pretty much just a DPS class, you have to follow a target assist. If you are in the one selecting the targets in your raid, then try to focus on things that are squishy. I guess hunters are one of the few classes that die quickly, so you know, try to pick on hunters first. If they get focus healing or a bubble, switch to a different hunter, or you know, keep also an eye on what's, you know, in front of you. Also, now that cooldown on the Uruk heal is pretty low, I think it's only 3 minutes.
That's right, 3 minutes.
So, you know, you just use it. If you see people in your group going below 50%, use it. Because there's a lot of skills on Freep's side that open up at 50% or below, and they can do a lot more DPS. So that kind of helps keeping your group lasting a little bit more, cutting on the Freep DPS. Then I would also keep an eye on the healers in your group. Like if sometimes defilers heal and they get target and they start kind of tidying and healing, it helps to hinder people that are going after your healers, just to give your healers a break. You know, slow them down, and then it'll give time to the defiler to heal a bit more. That's pretty much it.
All right, sounds good. Well, that takes care of raiding. Small grouping. The small group was the preferred role. That's mostly there for other classes, but we'll go ahead and mention that once more. What are the differences to raiding between small grouping and raiding, and what are the stuff that you have to adapt to in a small group setting that's just different from anything else that's in the game? I'll start with Burz this time.
Well, I'd say that, you know, you really get to use a lot more of your skills when you're in a small group. You kind of have to keep a closer eye on your group's morale, see when you need to use your heal, put in the fire trap, if people just starts going into melee range, see if you can put that down to help your group. And then, pretty much doing DPS and slowing your targets, dismounting people. If you have the AoE route, that also helps to keep people from running or help you get away too sometimes. But yeah, I'd say that you have to keep an eye, to use more of your skills than if you're in a raid. In a raid, it comes down to just a few skills. You have to think a little bit more in a small group.
Okay. Got anything to add to that?
No, not really. I just think kind of change out traits that would help the group more. Like you mentioned, the enhanced Death Blossom would probably be pretty awesome with a small group because it would probably root pretty much everyone and let your side recoup a little bit. But Get a Grip still works great. I'm not so sure about Kenai as much in a small group, but I think you would want more mobility since you don't have as much backup, probably. But other than that, Snail would probably still work well. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it, yeah.
Kenai, I would say, probably is, it just depends. If they start shooting at something else and they're not actually going after you, you probably the potential to switch into Kenai and start doing a lot more damage is right there, and you can.
Oh yeah, definitely that.
And whereas if they're going after you, then you'd probably want to be a skirmisher, so it's just more fluid and dynamic. Okay, Shoots, what do you got to say about small groups?
As compared to raids, small groups, your skills really seem to show a lot more. I think it's also a good way for a new player to run in a group before they do raids, so they can get the real feel of how their character class works. That goes across for all the creeps styles. Yeah, it really lets you learn your class a lot better than running a raid, because your skills are just that more visible, and they tend to work more than in a raid, because you're usually facing less creeps, and you're not buffed of 30, 40 buffs for each guy. Yeah, I think it's a good way to learn how to be in a raid is to start in a group. That's what I'd say about that.
All right, sounds good. Okay, and now on to the soloing. So for soloing, just talk about it. Like, how do you actually go about soloing with the Black Arrow? When is the class ready, and what are some of the tricks and tips that you have from your own soloing experiences for anyone who wants to get into soloing as a Black Arrow? Shoots your first.
When I started, I started soloing, and I think this is where a lot of creeps get... They get bummed out because they'll solo and they just get killed a lot. And I think it's good to know when the rush hour is on Land of Val. It's, there's definite rush hour when a lot of people are out running, and that's not the best time to solo. When the server's quiet, that's a good time to solo when you're a new character. Unless you love just getting into action every 5 minutes where you're usually gonna die. You can solo right at the beginning. It's really about the traffic on the server. Or just be prepared to die a lot. My tricks are basically, I live in Hawaii, so I can get on late when the whole place is sleeping, and I can run the whole map. That's I relied on that a lot, and then when I wanted to get into raids, I'd come during rush hour.
I've used that trick too quite a bit. Being on the different time zones and not in the U.S. proper makes it very easy. Okay, Guts, I think this is more your speed. How do you go about with soloing?
I was a raid leader up until rank 8, and I've been soloing the last 2 ranks, and I can't say enough about Skirm Stance. I know I've already said a lot about it, but for the mobility of everything, at what point is the class ready? I was up, I guess, rank 8 for me when I started. I think I just got VT or something like that around there, and that was a pretty awesome skill, and how do I do it? I try to work stealth as much as possible and catch troops off guard. Usually when they're riding by on their horses, I try to shoot them in the back of the head with it, improve the headshot as much as possible so it procs. But I don't know, man. You just got to get out there and die a lot, basically, and get used to it and not worry about it and not really worry about how quote-unquote petty other people are being and just stick to it, and if the situation's right, you could run right in the middle of three freaks and kill them all by taking them by surprise. So it's all pretty situational. When you're solo, you got to manage your morale and power a lot more, and you don't have yourself to depend on, so you can try to pick and choose your targets, but that's not always the case, so just give it your best. Spam strong pull as much as possible.
I think that happens to everyone, no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Alright. Burrs, what have you got to say about soloing?
Well, I guess it depends on your style. There's people that call soloing pretty much staying with where most creeps are, just fighting the fear braid, and if that's your style, then you can start as early on as rank 1. You know, just if that's how you do it. If you do the rock elf, you know, kind of... I guess you'd have to know how the map works, where freaks spawn, and you have to get to know the map a little bit to actually start running around by yourself and be successful and getting kills and not being served. Because, you know, if you try to solo that way and you don't really know where to go, you'll get served a lot. But I'd say, like Godlord said, you know, you have to use a lot of orc stealth. You're gonna die a lot. Sometimes even if you, like, people's gonna find you and you have to fight to try to go for the kill. To be able to do that though, you need a certain rank. You need to have VT, you need to have revenge, and your self-heal. You need to have those skills to have a chance at doing it that way. And, pretty much get used to being served a lot, because that tends to happen fairly often.
Yep. Okay. Merrick, you got any questions about any of those playstyles for our guests here? Because you do have the more newer eyes full of wonder and delight and newness perspective.
I know you guys mentioned this, but I just want to make sure, do you think that most of your time is spent doing one of these depending on what time it is, or, I mean, are there any other factors? I mean, coming in as a new person, I know you said focus on maps. Should I immediately start doing maps and then join raids as they're open, or, you know, what are my priorities as a new Black Arrow?
It's kind of situational. You can do it the way that you said there, or you can focus entirely upon player versus environment type stuff and improving your character until you feel ready to actually go after your opposing targets. Or if you really have come out here for a lot of the PvP, then you can get by with very minimal improvements to your character and do mostly hunting of other players as much as you can, and then just do your questing and working on your maps when you find yourself in off hours and with some free time.
Okay. And... you guys have done a really good job of answering most of the questions that I would have as far as the class goes. So, any other tips that you would say, just as somebody coming back to the class and maybe has, like I said, I played it for a little while, and then I got frustrated because I couldn't move fast with the raid, and so I went to my war leader. Anything else that you would, you know, suggest for somebody coming back, checking out the changes that have come over the last couple, last months?
Don't forget to use March.
That's a very good one.
I'm glad they reduced that to, half a second induction now.
Oh, I'm also glad, I don't know if this was true in other classes, but I noticed that on my Reaver, when he would use March, he would get stuck doing animation at the end of the thing, and they finally took that away.
Yeah. I'd say, for someone coming back, and it may be pretty tough with the way comms are now. All the BP you've built up over the years is pretty much useless. And unless you're willing to spend money in the store for skills, it's going to be pretty tough coming back. But I think they made the BA 200% more fun, adding the different stances and stuff, and being able to shoot on the move, or being like a mortar. Standstill mortar is, they're giving us a little more options, and I think a lot of great changes have happened, so come back. I would tell Merrick to tell all of the street friends to come out to the moors. I see a lot of 75 freaks that never go out there, and I'd love for them to come out and check it out.
So what are the issues with commendations? I mean, what am I going to find that's different? I know you guys it sounded like you guys were saying that it's incredibly slower now to progress as a Black Arrow, or as any class.
Yeah, basically, commendations are acquired slowly, and you require thousands of them to buy a single thing. If you want a new skin for your Monster Play character, you're going to spend 7,500 commendations. If you want to get a new skill, you're going to spend at least 2,000. If you want a corruption trait from the trainer, you're going to spend at least 1,000, if not more. And it just keeps rolling like that, with you spending anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 for a single improvement to your character.
Yeah, and all the building pots and stuff you have to buy with comms now too, so you kind of have to decide, do I want to build up Audacity ranks, or do I want to buy skills, or do I want to buy pots for, you know, everyday use? So your choices are really limited now, I think.
And the other thing for the new guys is, because of how fast you're going to rank up, you're going to be like just approaching your first 2,000 commendations, and you'll be close to rank 3, and you'll have just tons of skills and traits and stuff, and you're trying to figure out, what do I buy first? And it's just going to be a little bit tough.
It sounds like it. That's both encouraging and discouraging at the same time, because it sounds like they did slow it down, but it sounds like they were trying to slow down combat, right? They weren't trying to slow down progression.
That was Audacity. Right? That's a different system.
Right, but that's the only thing that they intentionally were trying to slow down. I mean, I thought that they were moving to a unified currency because they wanted to do seasons a la Warcraft. I mean, let's be honest. Not because they wanted to slow down everybody's progression.
Yeah, that's what they said. But then, you know, there was always some people who were talking about, you know, they're just doing this so that they can get rid of the Destiny Point stores on the veterans and get people to use the store more. And, with the way the commendation costs ended up coming out for monster players, that's kind of what has happened is, if you really want to keep your character progressing at a good rate, you've got to spend money in the store, or you're going to just go a long, long time without having tons of your skills and still trying to catch up with skills that should have been available to you and that you should have been able to buy when they came out, but you cannot. And you'll be, I think it was rank 7, and still trying to buy all of your skills, and you'll finally catch up somewhere in the middle of rank 7 and have everything from rank 1 through 7 that you've unlocked finally purchased, with the exception of various cosmetic skins.
Yeah, so I...
Well, that sounds disappointing.
But, I mean, if... Go ahead.
Well, I mean, because... I know that there were people out there on Turbine who are like, people have like millions of like Destiny points and we have no way to spend them, and that wasn't the case with me. I had like 20 something thousand, and most of them were not earned through they were earned through leveling alts. I mean, I didn't do a lot of PvP, so yeah. What else can I say? But I know that there are people. I know Pinkface that he had something like, what, 9 million or something like that? So
probably 900,000.
900,000. Well, something obscene. I mean, but that's, I don't know. It seems like they hurt the system by trying to balance, like, exceptional players, people who were just spending a lot of time in the war. So I don't know. With commendations and the way you guys are describing it, it kind of even sounds even more like a grind than it was.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. What I think, though, is that now, since there's not really a way to get DP other than leveling, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they end up getting rid of Destiny points entirely. They just give you, make it so you can buy those buffs with commendations or through Turbine points.
Those buffs have always been in the Turbine store, and so the people that were talking about driving people to the store were thinking, it's like, oh, people are getting Destiny points so easily and stuff, it's like, maybe they want to make it so that we can't get Destiny points, so that we have to buy these perks in the store. That was where they were going originally. That's not kind of how it turned out, but that's where people were actually thinking about that, because they thought they wanted to get more store sales on stuff like Infamy buffs and all that goodness.
And I think the reason why crews were banking, they weren't using all the buffs. I mean, some of those buffs are 5,000, 3,000, 3,000. You know, you, if you buy all of them for what they last, an hour, hour and a half, I mean, you spend like 12 to 15K DP every hour, hour and a half if you fully buffed up.
Oh, yeah. You could bowl through your Destiny points pretty quick, but it was just so easy to get them, and most people didn't really worry about having the buffs because you only get like 5 uses per day anyway. So, yeah, I weren't really concerned about that. By the way, in terms of people having a whole bunch, how many Destiny points did Grishlar have last time he was on? Stingy guy.
3 million, something like
that? Yeah. Of course, Grishlar complains about buying continued swiftness for 150 Destiny points, so...
Yeah, he's cheap.
He's a little miserly with those things.
Right, what did I have? He has like 5, 4, 5, 6, something like that, something crazy.
I actually don't buy the high-priced versions of the buffs. I think they're a waste. I just buy the ones that cost 50 points and they last for half an hour. I don't think the upgrade that you get is worth it. So hopefully, you know, buying those small buffs, my Destiny point pool will last a long time.
Because I really don't want to grind on my freak for more DP.
Okay, so concluding thoughts about the Black Arrow. Just go ahead and tell us what you think of it.
I have currently 3 creeps. I have a Reaver, Black Arrow, and a Warg. And Black Arrow is my favorite. Just seems to suit my playstyle. I think it's just a matter of how you like to play. Yeah, I'm very happy with the Black Arrow, actually. I love the Warg, but it's just a completely different playstyle. I think each creep class has its own special niche in the group. It just depends on which one you're happy with. Black Arrow's good for me.
Yeah, I'd love to have stealth on a BA, but I'm sure that'll never happen. But I think the BA is in a pretty good place right now. The way I play it, if I would have the patience to kite more, I'd be more successful. But I think it has pretty high damage output. Not very much debuff utility, of course. Hinder was nerfed, so... if that came back, that would be awesome, but, so BA is my main, it's all I've ever really played. I have a few rank 4 and 5s, but BA is my favorite, so. Hit spacebar a lot when you play, people seem to love that. I don't know why, but, it seems to work out pretty well. And, that's it, really.
Why exactly would you want stealth? What would you do if you had stealth?
I would gank solo raid babies as much as possible.
So there would be nothing about your stealthing exploits showing up in OOC at all, right?
Oh yeah, I would get a big laugh at it. And I know hunters give me all the time with it, so I would love to return the favor. Burst too, of course.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, the spiders, they're the ones that do the trapdoor thing, so they kind of got that role all covered.
Yeah.
Except the part where they go splat. There's a reason that Grishlar brings spatulas to raids.
I'm trying to talk him to come back, man. Try to be my pocket healer. But he's a star hugger.
Yeah, he is. He's got his 5 stars. He doesn't want to lose them. I don't know why.
And he's a raid baby. What do you expect?
Who is that?
Grishlar. He's one of the White Hand war leaders. He's rank 11. I think he's the highest ranked war leader left on the server, although he doesn't play anymore.
Oh, Grishlar.
Yeah.
I know him. He's played for a long time too, but haven't seen him in a while.
Wait a minute, did I say Grishlar? Or did I?
Yeah,
that's right. It's Grishlar, that's right.
He got me into the game, so. And he actually got me into the White Hand. I was a Grishlar Dingleberry.
Yes. Okay, enough with that tangent. Burz, your concluding thought from the class.
Well, I'd say that BAs are at a pretty good place right now, minus those 2 debuffs I talked about. You know, the Lore Master minus 50% deep range damage and enrage trade at a version of the skill. What happens right now is that most BAs don't really have to deal with that much because a lot of freaks just don't use it. And I hope they, you know, stay away from it. But, you know, that I'm not happy with that. That's why, one of the reasons why I think that BAs are not really that great right now. Because it's just kind of like because creeps don't use it as often as they should, I guess.
Yeah, and really the Black Arrow is the only class that has debuffs that get thrown at it that are really specifically tailored to really cut it down and make it pretty much worthless, and no one else has to deal with the debuffs doing what those two debuffs do to the class, where they just completely... What's the word I want to use here?
Especially if you have a lore master that uses the Raven on top of it, you start doing like 100 points hits on people. It's like you're back to level 40 or something like that. That's crazy. Like, that shouldn't be allowed in PvP. That's okay for NPCs in PvE, but come on, PvP skill that cuts your damage 50, and then with a Raven 75%, and then another one that kills all, most of your skills, and they're spammable. You know, the only reason why more people don't complain about it is because freaks don't use it. Then aside from that, the class got a lot more playable with a skirmisher stance, you know, that you can shoot on the move. It was pretty frustrating to try to solo before. But I would have personally liked better, instead of something like that, getting decent melee skills rather than being able to shoot on the run. I guess I don't like the idea of... Because it's kind of like... It's not really gonna... It's something that wouldn't normally happen. Someone shooting at things while running. It's kind of a bit weird. Yeah, but right now it's really playable, and I would have liked maybe better DPS or be able to mitigate damage better, but right now it's okay, I guess.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more Ravens lately, and I blame Burrs for that.
Right, well, that is almost done, so just go ahead and give a shout out to any players, kinships, etc., and then we will sign off.
Okay, this is Shoots. I'd like to give a shout out to all the gang at Pouncing Pony, you know, Hot Toddy, those being there for us, and Shazaluk for leading great raids, and my favorite ward, Drugash. Aloha, everybody.
This is Gutlug, Rank 10, Randy. I would probably just give a shout out to the Y Hand, Ugmog included, for the years of awesome fun and really taking me in and letting me grow and practice as a creep, and Pony and all the other tribes that are out there every night, and even the flippers, the Freak to Creep flippers. Anyone on creep side, we all joke around and oversee, have a good time, kill freaks, get stronger together, and thanks for the opportunity. I would also like I said, Merrick, earlier, to get more freaks to come out. The more traffic to the moors we get, the more love from Turbine we'll get. So, come out,
actually,
please.
I think my guild is planning to do some runs, Freepside, bringing out the freaks. So they can, their goal is to level up, but if you guys level up instead, then at least some players are happy.
Fine, that's all it's about.
Yeah. So I will definitely encourage them. In fact, I will tell them that the creeps have an open invitation, and if so, maybe we can divulge when they go out there, so there's fun to be had on both sides.
Absolutely.
This is Bersungoth, formerly known as Darkshot. I renamed my creep, and also known by others by my freak, my captain, Nandir. So I'd like to do a shout-out to people I've met in this game. People in my tribe, Creep Show, and people in my kinship, which is the
Palantir.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I'm going to have to get Gagamba back on here for the spider roundtable when that comes up. Actually, wait a minute, I forgot something. Merrick, you're supposed to do shout-out, too.
Okay. I would like to give a shout-out to Council of the Secret Fire on Landerville server, and all the wonderful creeps on Landerville that have always been very helpful every time I've gone in there. I should also say very patient as well when I've gone in there on my creeps. Thank you very much. I wish I remembered your individual names. And you know what? I how about a shout out to all the creeps just for keeping with a system that you know doesn't get as much attention as it should, but you guys keep on it with it anyways.
Sounds like a good shout out there. Yeah, thank you all for coming. It was wonderful to have you guys. You guys definitely did a great job and let everybody know about the wonders and joys of the Black Arrow. So, yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Ugmug, for having me.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
That concludes the roundtable.
You've been listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor. For more information, go to www.casualstrolltomordor.com or visit us on mymiddleearth.com. That's mymiddle-earth.com. www.thecodetoday.com.